How's it going, everyone? Welcome back to the Are You The One Season 6 Wrap Up Podcast. I'm your host, yes, I said host, Adam Bongiovanni, and I'm actually here with my fill-in co-host, my twin brother and not yours, Nick Bongiovanni. Nick, how you doing?
I'm doing well. I'm ready for the Christmas season. I'm always in a good mood during this time of year, and I hope you are too.
Well, what about the Hanukkah season? It's also the Hanukkah season as well, so let's not forget any of our Jewish listeners. So Hanukkah, Christmas, Kwanzaa, whatever you're celebrating, we thank you for listening, and we hope you're having a good holiday season. So let's, I guess, start with Nick and how familiar he is with mine and Ali's podcast. Nick, how many episodes of our show have you listened to?
I'm just going to say I'm familiar it exists.
Okay.
I'm familiar it's a thing.
Okay.
But I have listened to, at the most, 10 minutes of a podcast.
Okay.
And I have a very good reason for that.
But you are familiar with Are You The One. We've seen every episode. And Nick, you've seen all of season 6, correct?
I've seen all of season 4. I've seen all of season 5. And I've seen all of season 6. All
right. So we're going to jump right into the reunion. We're going to cover both parts of the reunion. Actually, we did cover the whole first reunion episode. And our audio was corrupt. So we had to start over. So now we're just going to do one probably hour and a half long podcast about the full reunion. Sit back. If you're on a long drive, enjoy your long drive, and let's get started. So they start out, and Terrence introduces the couples, and he introduces the newly found perfect matches because they just won $1 million. And they introduce everyone pretty normally for the first episode. We'll get to the second episode in a little while. But Ethan, what drew my attention was that Ethan was trying to be, like, I guess, cutesy funny, and he went in for, like, the high five, and, like, Zoe went for the hug, and it was just extremely awkward. So I guess that ties it into Ethan. Nick, from the beginning of the season till now, what has been your opinion on Ethan E-Money, the rapper?
All right, so at the beginning, I was like, wow, this dude sucks. He's so annoying. He's awful. Like, the first episode, first opinion. And then as you get to know him, you're like, okay, this guy's not bad. And then you realize he's starting to, like, really play this character. Everything he does has to do with him not getting girls or him being unconfident. Mm. And it feels like he's too, like, hard trying to play this character as opposed to just being E-Money.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think I think he's definitely, like, you could tell he's obviously playing it up for the cameras a little bit. Now, I like Ethan. I've been very vocal on this podcast that I'm an Ethan fan. Now, I do think, and we'll see some of it in this podcast, or it is when we review the episode, that his self-deprecation has reached an all-time high, and it can rub people the wrong way, and I could see how it's annoying. But when it's all said and done, I do think he's a nice guy, and I think his when he makes fun of himself, it's just covering up or trying to, like, mask the insecurity in him being sad that he might not get as many girls as someone like Clinton.
No,
or as Gilles would say, or no, what Uche would say, Clinton.
No, Uche doesn't, Gilles says Clinton.
Clinton?
Clinton. She doesn't say her T's in his name for some weird reason. Regardless, listen, it's fine Ethan does this. It's just, it gets a little overbearing when he does it every other sentence.
Mm-hmm.
Like, chill. Maybe one every five sentences. Four even. Mm-hmm. It doesn't matter. But just, it's too often. It's too much for me to handle at times.
Okay, so we'll get a little more to Ethan later, and I know in the second part of the reunion, he might be in a little bit more. So, okay, let's start out with the mastermind. They all give Keith, like, I don't know if it was a standing ovation, but they all get hype for Keith, and they say he was the mastermind. He has a stats degree from Virginia Tech. Does him securing them $1 million also secure him a spot on a future season of the challenge?
I would like to see him on the challenge, but not solely for Keith, but for Alexis.
Mm.
Like, let's see an exes. Let's see a rivals.
Yes.
I don't know, whatever the hell they could come up with, let's do it, because that'd be cool. But I think season 3 was Devin, season 4 mastermind was Tori. Mm. I mean, and they've invited them both back for challenges. Mm. So let's assume that's going to happen. The pattern's going to continue, and we will most likely see Keith on a challenge.
You're also forgetting Team Chocolate, Derek H from season 5. Of Are You The One.
I was under the impression that Osvaldo was the mastermind, but that's just from my perspective.
Yeah, he's the best puncher in the world. And we'll get to the punching bag probably somewhere throughout this reunion. I don't think I could do a podcast without bringing up the Are You The One punching bag, which is my favorite cast member of all time.
Was that always? Wait, can I? You know if that was always there? Or do you remember?
I'm not sure. I just remembered in... did anyone go to... I don't think anyone went to punching spree in season 4. I just remember... Last season, when we covered Are You The One and Osvaldo and Tyranny were in a match, and he went right to the punching bag. excuse me, I just burped. And all of his brothers in arms surrounded him in a homoerotic fashion, and they all egged him on as he punched the punching bag to take out his anger. And this season, we've seen people do it as well, so I'm just a huge fan, and I encourage any RE1 cast members to take their anger out on the punching bag, because it will definitely give you screen time. We did see Keith in the last episode, like, knock over the punching bag repeatedly, so RE1, future RE1 cast members, if it doesn't get canceled, use the punching bag. Okay, so let's transition from Keith. We saw Keith and Alexis's big fight, and there were a lot of fights this season. Let's start off with your favorite fight or argument or table-throwing moment of the season.
Yeah, I think you kind of gave it away with that last little table-throwing moment thing you said. Kareem and the table was a beautiful, you wanted to root for the table, but you're like, oh, I feel bad for Kareem, he doesn't win a lot. And when he threw over that table and that anger fleshed out through his body, it just, it sent chills down my spine, Adam.
When you said the table thing, I remembered, and it brought me flashbacks to Jersey Shore. When Mike the Situation moved the table when Angelina and Snooki were fighting because he didn't want to mess up the table. Now, if the producers of RE1 or Keith or Olivia in that situation moved the table, Kareem would have never thrown it. But I do agree. We've seen a lot of gems from Kareem, and I think throwing a table was probably his top moment.
Wait, Battle of the X's 3, Kareem in the table. Or or Vendetta's 2, Kareem in the table. Yeah, possibilities.
Well, maybe we'll see some... table crossover, table to reality show crossover, the first of its kind. First, we have Big Brother members crossing over into the challenge. Next, we'll have tables. So, okay, my favorite moment of the season, or my favorite fight of the season, by far, I talked about this last week with Allie, or 2 weeks ago with Allie. Oh my God, that Keith and Alexis fight, where Keith, Alexis, and Bridget fight of 2017. First, we see, I'll talk about this fight until the day I die. So, obviously, the setup for the fight and the reason for the fight was one of the best ever. We have, and I know we talked about it in the last podcast, but I need to go over it again. We see Michael and Alexis, or Alexis get jealous that Keith is talking to someone. So Michael and her go off to shotgun a beer, because that's what anyone would do when they're stressed or a little annoyed at something. So they go to shotgun a beer. Alexis accidentally spills it all over her chest. Michael decides to be a great friend and help her clean it up.
A great friend, more like a dog. Like, wasn't that what dogs do? You spill something on you and it licks it up?
Yeah, but Michael, well, he's a dog, but he licks it up, and then he starts, I guess she spilled some inside of her mouth because he also decided to lick there as well. And she also seemed into it. And then they both went on to finish their makeout session and then pull off two of the worst lies ever by telling Keith that nothing happened. And then we saw Alexis and Keith getting the best fight in RE1 history, in my opinion. And Keith also took his anger out on Bridget. Keith's shoes were involved. And it was just a glorious moment for any RE1 fan. So by far, that was my favorite fight of the season. Yeah. I keep burping. I apologize. I hope Scott doesn't cut this out of the audio, because I want you guys to see how authentic this podcast is. It's probably because I'm drinking coffee, which I always do. So next, they sit down, Kareem, Alexis, Jade, and Deandra. They talk about all of the drama that went on in the house, and I guess these four contributed a lot to this drama. And they get into the Tyler and Kareem fight, where they both pushed each other, and then the production had to get involved. Now, this brings me to Kareem, and we're probably going to touch up on Kareem a lot during the reunion, because he is a big part of both reunion episodes. Do you think that Kareem was just portrayed as a negative person on TV who had his hot-headed moments, or do you think he's actually a threat? Like, would you be nervous to be around Kareem that if you said the wrong thing, he would snap?
If I was a table, absolutely. But since I'm not an inanimate object, I'm a human? No. Mm-hmm. Listen, I think, as we know, reality TV, and especially RE1, is highly edited. And numerous cast members, I think what I saw on Reddit, was that a lot of cast members have come out and said, no, Kareem was great in the house. Those were just his very few bad moments. And I'm sure every person in the house, I mean, we've seen a lot of them have incredibly bad moments. Kareem's just got highlighted a bit more.
Okay. Would you rather, if you were on RE1, would you rather be a Dimitri who doesn't get edited, and the times he does get edited, he really doesn't have much of an impact on anything? Or would you rather be a Kareem who is highly edited, a big potential to be back on different MTV shows, but people could think he's borderline crazy and a potential violent threat?
I'm going to put myself in the shoes of an aspiring reality TV star and say that any airtime is good airtime. Mm-hmm. Most of these people, that's a generalization.
Yeah.
Some of these people want to be famous. Yeah. So if you want to be famous on RE1-6, you're going to want as much airtime as possible, and that's a good thing.
Yeah, but I also don't think that any airtime is good airtime. I think that
I'm saying from their perspective.
No, because no, I disagree. Because we've seen a lot of reality shows where people say have said terrible, terrible things, and it's really affected their career. I.e., Jeff Varner. I think he would disagree with saying that his airtime in last season of Survivor was not good airtime. So if someone in Ari the One says something, or Camila in the challenge this year where she said something racist to Leroy, that's not good airtime. So there are exceptions. I don't think you could just be like, you know what, if I'm on TV, that's good.
Okay, but if it's a fight that doesn't have any racial or social repercussions, then it's good airtime in their eyes.
Okay, well, yeah, that well, then we're gonna get real specific. But
well, yeah.
I just think that there's a lot of ways you could appear negative. I feel like if I was going on a reality show, I would rather be under-edited than edited to the point where people think I'm a lunatic. And I don't think Kareem's a lunatic. From the beginning of the season, bless you. From the beginning of the season, we started out and I thought Kareem was crazy and I didn't like him. I thought he was a complete douchebag. And then he grew on me. And not only did he grow me, but his picture-perfect sculpted beard grew on me as well. And that's something that we were lucky enough to watch grow in front of our eyes to the full-fledged, beautiful beard we saw at the reunion.
Well, it didn't change at all, leading me to my conspiracy theory number one. It's a beard tattoo, not actually.
Do you really think it is?
It's a conspiracy theory. Do I believe it? I don't know. But would it be fun if it was real and I called it? Absolutely.
I don't think it's a beard tattoo. Okay, so then they bring up the threesome that we never want to watch again. That I'm honestly kind of sick of hearing this love triangle go back and forth and back and forth and back and forth. It's Nerisse. I always say her name wrong. Nerisse, Malcolm, and Deandra. They show the clips of him playing both of them and then him saying like he's in love and then them both teaming up on him and getting furious at him. But then Ethan actually brings up a pretty good point. And I'm not going to go into detail about this love triangle because we all watched it. We all saw it. I don't think really you need to touch up on it any more than we already have. But Ethan brings up a really good point. He says, okay, Malcolm continuously played these girls throughout the house, right? At some point, is it their fault? Because they keep cutting each other down. They're not really cutting him down until they obviously both blew up on him. Or is it his fault for being a douche, or is it their fault for believing his lies over and over and over?
I think the first time or second time when they're just getting to know him, they don't know better. Mm-hmm. They're just getting to know this guy and they want to believe the best in him.
Yeah.
However, after the second or third or fourth time, it starts becoming their fault because they're aware of what he's doing and they're still blaming the other.
Yeah, but they're in law.
Yeah, of course they were. Just like E-Money and his loneliness were in law.
Okay, so in my honest opinion, I think Malcolm truly believes he's trying to get better. I think him watching himself on TV, hopefully watching himself in front of his little sister and little brother and his mom, and they had to see him be a scumbag and play these girls, will change him for the better. I'm hopeful, but I don't believe it's going to happen. I do think that these girls, and me and Allie talked about this a lot, where we were so annoyed that these girls kept cutting each other down. It's like, okay, you're both getting mad at each other when Malcolm is the one with actual relationships to you both, and he's treating you both like complete shit. When you guys really don't care about each other, why are they going to go out of their way to help the other one? So we were kind of annoyed at that, and when they finally double-teamed Malcolm and said, look, and not double-teamed him in the way that Malcolm would like, but they double-teamed him and went off on him, I think we kind of were happy to put that story to rest because those girls figured out what they should have been doing in the first place. So he fell in love. It's obviously a big deal. And I think that seeing all this come full circle and seeing all these girls shit on him, we don't need to really go into any further detail. Okay, but now my question to you is, how do you feel about Malcolm after watching his whole storyline play out on TV?
I what's there to feel? Like, he did exactly what he said he wouldn't do, as we've seen happen numerous times before. And now when he wants to say that, oh, I'm not going to do this anymore, how, like, first of all, let's see, he does it again. Who cares? Because this guy's, he's a lost cause.
Uh-huh.
And I, like you said, it got to a point where it was so repetitive. Do we even want to ever see these three rekindle this on another show? Absolutely not. I know, I don't.
Yeah. He actually kind of apologizes towards the end of the segment, but then he kind of goes back on his apology because they're like blaming him. And he's like, well, it's not only my fault, it was your fault too. So like he kind of gets a little defensive there. So he also says, for those of you who watch the whole season, Malcolm has called everybody bro. I'm sure he called the producers bro. He called Deandra and Nerisse bro more than enough. I actually took a bro count this episode. How many times do you think he said bro throughout the first part of the reunion?
14, 13, 16.
5. It was only 5. I know it felt like a lot more because he said it all season, but it was only 5. So, you know, good on Malcolm for cutting down on the bros, dude, because I don't think you should really call a girl bro, especially a girl you're interested in romantically. I don't think she's going to like if you call her bro.
Well, they liked anything he did. But regardless, character development. Yeah, he might not have become a better person over the course of the season. He might have looked gradually more like a scumbag as it went on, but he did lessen his bro count, and that's something that everyone should applaud him for.
Okay, so then next, Deandra says she's a queen, and the queen stays queen, I guess, so, like, good for her. Malcolm also then brings up his relationship outside of the house with Deandra when, I guess, they were trying to make it work. They were dating for a little while, but then Deandra's ex brought his dog over to Deandra's house, and that stirred the pot and caused them to break up. Malcolm, Deandra, let it go. You guys aren't meant to be. But after this, I guess he texted Nerys and said, or he texted Nerys when he was with Deandra. Now, for Malcolm seeing everything that he did in the house, he obviously continued his ways outside of the house. And, he texted Nerys when he was still with Deandra, and I guess she wanted no parts of that. So, you know, good on her for finally realizing. I think we could finally end this love triangle, right?
For people we really didn't want to talk about, we kind of did spend a lot of time on them.
Yeah, I guess we have to if they take up a good part of the reunion. That's what I'm getting paid to do by the Are You the One producers. I don't know if you knew that. This podcast is funded by the Are You the One producers.
I don't think they have enough money to even keep their own show running.
No, but they could, yeah, but they pay me $6 a podcast. That's, I'll do it.
It's lower than minimum wage.
Yeah, but it's once every week.
You think E-Money makes more or less than that rapping?
Rapping what, though? Like rapping gifts at Toys R Us?
Well, rapping in this, like, whatever he does, rapping like songs.
I think he's, we're going off topic. I think he's actually talented.
He is, but does he make money doing that? We don't know. Adam.
Probably. Okay, so I'm sure we'll talk about E-Money's rap career in its own podcast when E-Money comes on the show himself. Is his name Ethan, what's his last name?
Money.
Okay.
Ethan Money.
Yeah. So Malcolm, Nerys, Deandra, my advice for you is Malcolm, I think you gotta let both of these girls go. I know you still think you're in love with Nerys. Let it go. Deandra, queen stays queen. Move on with your life. Nerys, don't go back to Malcolm. Boom. Ended. You guys have fun. Okay, so next we talk about the loser group in the house. They bring up the four losers, Joe, Ethan, Tyler, and Shad. And then they also talk to Kareem while they're interviewing the four losers. Kareem, they ask him in that big argument that he had with them where he was kind of saying, you guys are losers, you're losers, you're sitting back while we're trying to find our perfect match, you guys are doing nothing, you're playing the ukulele all day. He said he doesn't regret doing that. Now, because they won the $1 million. Do you agree with Kareem? Do you think he should just apologize and shut his mouth? Say, you know what, I was a jerk, I didn't have to call you losers. Or are you proud that Kareem stuck to true to his word?
No, oh no, God no. I feel like Kareem saying that is like, okay, him... it's going to be extreme. I mentioned this last time before our audio got deleted. This is like Kareem killing someone and then a year later be like, I won the lottery. And then be like, well, do you regret anything before you won the lottery? And him saying, nah, let me do this, boy. Like, no. Mm. No, you apologize. Take the high road. You have one chance, right? Mm. To finally look like a good dude. And me and you, we love to hate Kareem this season. But I'm like, dude, show a redeeming quality. Like, say sorry, apologize to these dudes for being an asshole for once.
Yeah. Okay, so with these four guys in that whole argument, I did feel bad for them because I think they were interested in getting to know other girls, but I don't think the four of them were the alpha dogs who were going to just go up to a girl and kind of like, especially if she's interested in another guy, it didn't seem likely of the four of them, maybe Joe, but the other three to really try to swoop in and steal a girl, right? So for him to kind of call them losers for this, when we really didn't see the full picture and whose fault it truly was, I don't think it was right now. But I do think him calling them out made them really actually get to know the other members of the cast and get to know the other girls. And we did see Joe and Uche form a relationship after this when they were doing that little speed dating round because they both feel like they were really tied into their own religions and kind of felt like they were in a cult. So I do think that him calling them losers wasn't the best way to handle it, but I think that somebody calling them out and saying, guys, like, you got to really step up, there's a more effective way, but I think it did get the job done, and the end result was they won $1 million. Yeah. So I think, okay, and also to go to your point, let's say somebody kills someone, right? And then they win a lottery the next year. There's no correlation between them killing someone and them winning the lottery. There is a correlation between Kareem yelling at them and them winning $1 million.
No, there's not. How do you know that? Wait, how do you know that?
Because Ethan was in the house, and do you remember in the interview, he legitimately says,
okay, if when Kareem said that we started looking for our perfect matches, so by he lit a fire under their ass. That's what they said. What other evidence do you want?
Okay, I'm gonna retract what I said because I forgot that because we didn't watch it a little while ago.
Okay, good.
But he could he could have went about it so differently.
But it worked.
Be respectful about it. Okay. I'm a fan of people being nice. That's it.
But then you don't have a TV show. If everyone's nice, are you the one gets canceled season one?
You're absolutely right.
Yep, I like hearing that. So I'm right. Then we have to highlight the fact that Ethan kissed the girl. It's like the biggest moment in history. I think, this is why there's this whole big E-Money self-deprecating thing, because we have to talk about him kissing someone. They say he kissed Alexis, and they showcase that he got some, and then they realize they're just friends or whatever it was. And then Alexis says she'd marry Ethan, probably down the road, because they're the same person or whatever, however she worded it. Not, I don't know if she said they're the same person, but she said they have, they're homies, best friends, whatever. And then he said, oh, she's friend zoning me. And all the girls in the cast were like, no, she's not. She just said she'd marry you. So I think everyone else is also annoyed with the kind of, oh, I'm a loser. Because I don't think he's a loser.
It's he has program responses where it's oh, how do I make this make me look like a loser? I think Ethan's the only one who truly loved getting called a loser by Kareem. Everyone else is oh, that sucks. And Ethan's yes.
And I don't think he's a loser. I think that obviously he might view himself as – he's not a 10. He's not a Clinton or Michael who are they've modeled. But I think he's a decent-looking guy. And, he's talented. So I just think that he brings himself down a lot as an insecurity or coping mechanism. But I think he's has more to be confident for than he's giving himself credit for. So you know what, Ethan? If you're listening, you're a 10 in my heart. Okay. So then we have the best relationship that could have been, Michael and Kiana. I'm not a fan of Michael the person, but of Michael the character, and watching him be a complete dog and douche on TV was very fun to watch. And we'll get into that in a bit. So they bring up Kiana and Michael, and they start, asking Michael about his relationship with Audrey and his relationship with Kiana, and he gives pretty typical Michael answers to everything we've seen before in the show. But he goes on to apologize to all of the girls that he wronged, right? So he has this big, long apology. And I think this shows zero character development for Michael. He talked his way out of yet another situation. So opinion on Michael, and do you think his apology was genuine? Or do you think he was just trying to set himself up for sleeping with another one of them in the future?
No, I don't think – I think does he really need to set himself up at this point? I don't think he's doing that at all. However, my opinion on the guy in general – he seems scummy. I feel like he's not a terrible person. He's scummy when it comes to women. I don't think he's a terrible dude. It just feels watching this show from our perspective, it just seems so see-through what he was doing throughout the season. However, from their perspective, these girls were just throwing themselves at him. And I guess that comes to a face value type thing. He's a very good-looking dude. But it just feels like he's so transparent.
Yeah, no. It's a lot easier for us to say we could see exactly what Michael does, but when it's someone in the house and you're living with him every day and he's being extremely nice to you and telling you how much he cares about you like he was with Audrey and then having sex with her and validating her in that sense and then behind your back doing God knows what, it is a lot tougher to pick up on that in real life. We're seeing it from an outside perspective, an edited version where they're showing us the scummy moments of Michael. If you live with someone for 24 hours a day and then 1 hour they're scummy and 23 hours they're awesome, you're going to think they're awesome. So I understand why the girls would get fooled, and I just it's tough to trust anything Michael says at this point, and that's just my opinion.
Right. No, you're right. And it is hindsight 2020, and from our perspective, it is 2020. Mm-hmm. But it's still – you just want to see people make smarter decisions when a scumbag's involved. And I know you said you really enjoyed watching Michael. To an extent, I did, but I don't totally agree on that because – we've seen so many scumbags on these shows, it does get quite repetitive. Don't you agree with that or no?
I guess it does, but I think when the consequences are different, when the outcome's different, seeing Michael be a douche and hook up with Alexis caused one of my favorite moments in Are You the One history. So I don't wish Michael to dog anyone and be the reason someone gets cheated on, but if it's on Are You the One, I'm all for someone being a complete douche and giving me entertainment. Because that's the reason we watch these shows, and I know they're real people with real emotions, but I'm okay with seeing someone act in maybe not the best way for the betterment of the show
if that makes sense. And maybe that's wrong for me. And I guess that takes us in a whole new discussion, which we're probably not going to dive into. But I do like seeing scummy people on my screen.
No, I do too. It just feels like when they're recycled, it like we've seen Michaels on TV before. We've seen good-looking dudes who recycle through girls like they're objects before.
I just think that maybe the outcomes have been different for Michael. Okay, so we also, to move on a little bit, we saw Jaless and Michael hooked up. They revealed this on the show 12 hours after it was revealed that Michael and Audrey weren't a perfect match. Now, we see Audrey then continue to get mad at Jaless, which is another typical Are You the One scenario where the girls cut each other down. Michael was the one that was supposed to be loyal to Audrey, right? Of course, Jaless was probably her friend and should have been loyal as well. But Michael was the one that she wanted to see a relationship with outside of the house. And he really dogged her in this and having sex with Jaless right after she found out they weren't a perfect match in the same room as Audrey, pretty much on top of Zoe. So I think that showed the type of people they are. And I'm not a Jaless fan. She's probably one of my least favorite cast members. And that's saying a lot on Are You the One? But they talk about that moment. And I think now I wasn't a fan of Audrey. Me and Allie both weren't fans of Audrey throughout the season. But I really think she's grown on me. And I think towards the end, she showed that she's actually a genuinely nice person and really means well and probably deserves someone like Shad or someone who's going to treat her right. How do you feel about Audrey and compare it to how you felt about her in the beginning of the season?
At the beginning, she was kind of not, I mean, I don't know if I just wasn't paying attention to her, but it didn't feel like she was really too apparent in the episodes. And then as time went on, I felt like she was a nice girl. You know, deserves, like you said, a good dude like Shad. That would be nice. Mm. Definitely not someone who should be pairing up with Michaels because she gets played very, obviously, and that's, you know, she's, anytime someone gets played, it's not fun to watch, especially for them. However, what I wanted to get to was, you know when they say the thing like, oh, we were playing the game. We hooked up because we were playing the game. If you just outright say, yes, we're very attracted to each other, it, like the matchmakers don't, like there's no need for them to have sex. Are you understanding what I'm saying? Or just,
yes.
There's no necessity for them to hook up because the matchmakers are what? Matching them on their characteristics, their personalities, their looks, and if they're attracted to one another, as soon as they say, yes, we're attracted to one another, that's it. They could be a perfect match in that moment, but they don't need to take it a step further and hook up. I don't know if I'm making sense right now, but it makes a lot of sense in my head.
But to me, that if someone wants to find out if they're a perfect match, physical attraction is extremely important. And not to get too deep, but sexual attraction is just as important. So if they want to find out they're a perfect match and then they go to kiss and it's just extremely awkward, maybe they're not a perfect match.
But don't you think that the physical appeal and the physical attraction to one another is enough to say maybe we could be a perfect match? And instead of hurting someone?
Of course they shouldn't hurt someone. But I understand that, and I feel like I'm diving into a different topic, where if someone wants to figure out if they're a perfect match, it's okay to hook up and see where that goes. But of course, if it's going to hurt someone, you shouldn't do it. I agree on that sense.
Okay, let's move on.
Okay, so then we have the Kiana pregnancy scare, which, girls, if you're going to have sex with Michael, use a condom. I don't care what he tells you. Use a freaking condom. There's no point in having sex with Mike if you're not going to be safe. And the saddest thing about the Kiana pregnancy scare was that if any other cast members got pregnant, that it would have been featured on the actual show and not the reunion show. Do you really care if Kiana gets pregnant or has a pregnancy scare? Do you want to hear that, or would you rather watch something a little different?
I mean, listen, pregnancies are fun. But
how? What do you mean they're fun?
Like, I mean, you get a kid out of it, Adam.
Yeah, but if it's unplanned, I don't think that's fun at all.
I'm saying the end result could potentially be fun. However, Kiana's lucky she got the after show. Because if Dimitri were pregnant, he would not get anywhere near the after show. They would not show that.
Well, Dimitri's a guy, so he can't get pregnant.
If he were a female and got pregnant, he wouldn't make it anywhere near the show.
And then they finish up the little pregnancy segment. And the first part of the pregnancy segment, because of course it has to be six parts long, which I keep saying, I didn't really care for this part. I don't think it was necessary. And she goes off stage and she says how embarrassed she was and how terrible that was to talk about. And Michael turns into sweet, sensitive Michael, where he comforts her. And do you believe this was a genuine comfort? Did he know the cameras were on, or was he just Michael being Michael?
Well, I'm critical of Michael very often, and I actually think this was genuine. There was something about it that felt real. They don't know if these little side pieces are ever going to air. You know, they don't even know if there's any possibility they're going to air. So the fact that he did comfort her was nice, and I like seeing that.
And we also had Jada, Nerys, and Audrey, who told Michael, and then Jada actually apologizes to Kiana for telling Michael and kind of getting involved when Kiana trusted Jada. So I don't think this was a huge segment. I don't think we're all going to remember this as a big part of RE The One history, but I think it was nice of Jada to kind of admit to being wrong. I don't think we see that a lot in RE The One.
Yep, I agree. 100%. It was nice. However, do I want to see this segment again? Do I really want to rewatch it? Absolutely not. I'd rather watch Dimitri highlights from the season.
Okay, so then we have a girl from Portland come out of the audience. They're going to take audience questions in one of the most terribly planned segments we've seen in a while. So she asks a question about living together and if that makes you fall in love quicker. And then the whole cast answers at once. So you would think that the producers before the show said, okay, guys, when we go to the audience, like Tyler's going to answer or Deandra's going to answer. But nope, they all just throw out a bunch of answers. And Tyler's actually the first one who really gets his answer on the open. And he said, when you have sex quicks, it's not love, it's lust. And then Jalesh jumps on him real quick and says, like, well, maybe let's talk to someone who was actually in a relationship and not someone who played the ukulele all season long. So do you think that Jalesh has a valid point here that Tyler really doesn't know where the rest of them are coming from?
I'm just confused why she got real malicious with it. Like, why go after the poor kid's instrument he plays? He probably worked hard at that.
Yeah, I think there had to be more we didn't see. I think Jalesh had bad blood with a lot of the cast members, and Tyler could have just been another one of those cast members that she wasn't too fond of. And also, as much as I think Jalesh is whiny and I'm not a fan, and I think she's can be homewrecking, I do think that she, had a valid point with this. I think that Tyler really didn't have a real relationship. Yes, he thought Nicole was his perfect match, but I don't think there was ever a real connection between the two of them based on what she said. And how she's talked during all these like confessionals in the show and when they were on the date. So I think maybe that's a little bit of anger and insecurity that he didn't have someone where he could just go and hook up and someone who that really liked him back in the house. So I'm a Tyler fan, but I do kind of see where she's coming from. And this is probably the first and last time I'll ever agree with Jalesh on the show. Then we get into the farting question. And Deandra says she farted on Shad's head. Shad jumps up and talks, but nothing, no words come out of his mouth. It was weird. I feel like that was also extremely unnecessary. Then they take us to a hookup chart, and they go through every hookup in the house. And to be honest, there's not really a hookup that surprised me on this chart. Nick, were there any that surprised you?
I think Shad and Zoe, which, it doesn't necessarily surprise me because you kind of assume that weird hookups happen that we don't see. However, it was just kind of random. Maybe that's because we never heard from Shad, except for that oak tree comment that everyone keeps bringing up.
Yeah, but I know you said we haven't heard from Shad, but Reddit, I go on to the RE The One subreddit a ton, and a lot of people on there are obsessed with Shad. They think he was the best cast member all season. They think he was genuine. He was a nice guy. And I think he's a little quirky, which is cool. I think quirkiness always works. It's relatable. It's like, Jennifer Lawrence, quirky and relatable. Yeah. And we saw Shad in the beginning of the season. And I remember when he called himself the Shad, and I was like, this guy's a complete douche. Actually, it turned into a pleasant surprise. I think he was actually the complete opposite. He was one of the nicer guys, didn't try to use girls, didn't try to hook up with as many as possible. So we didn't see much of Shad, even in the reunion, but I do think that Shad was one of the more well-received cast members on RE The One Season 6.
I think the moral of the story here is if you put a bunch of scumbags in a house, the good guys become very apparent.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so then we get to our finale of the first part of the reunion with Keith and Alexis, the stars of the show. I think if you're going to remember RE The One Season 6 or anything, I think it is Keith and Alexis and their toxic relationship. So then they cover Joe and Alexis, who had sex twice, and they reveal this on camera. And Keith doesn't seem shocked by this at all. Are you surprised that they had sex twice?
Who, that Joe and Alexis?
Yeah.
No, I mean, they hooked up. Remember that weird scene where he like threw all the stuff off the table? Like, that was kind of shocking at the time, but hearing that they hooked up after that is not shocking just because of the nature of that.
Was this the part in the reunion where he was like, oh no, we only had sex once, and she was like, I told him, and he was trying to lie about that they only hooked up once and they actually hooked up twice? And then, yeah, because then Keith goes, oh yeah, you both came to me, apologized, and you had sex again after that. So I think this relationship was doomed from the start. If you're trying to be loyal to someone, but then you're sleeping around with someone not once, but twice.
So as much as I love Keith and Alexis and their drama, I don't think they were destined to get married and have a bunch of kids in New Jersey. So then they get to Alexis's story time, where they both met each other's families. She took him to the mannequin fair, which is apparently an extremely big deal. But then Keith ruins it all by going to L.A. and having sex with everyone's season five favorite, Carolina, who will do absolutely anything for attention. And then apparently Carolina visits Keith for Halloween. Keith's mom texts Alexis about it, and it's a whole big ordeal. And then Alexis says she's going to hang out with Michael from season five because she has to obviously sleep with someone else from season five since Keith's doing that as well. It's a whole toxic situation. Do you think that both of them handle this in the best way possible?
No, I mean, I don't, absolutely not. No. However, I think there should be a rule on MTV. Once you've all your seasons aired, you're not allowed back. Because, like, just the vibes you get.
Oh, so you're going on Carolina. You're not even going on Keith and Alexis.
No, right now. Yeah, I'm going right to season five. Like, why? Why are they bringing these people back? I guess it's for drama, and I get it. Mm-hmm. However, it just feels super desperate on their part.
Okay, well, we'll get to Carolina. So I'm glad you made your point of view very clear. But Alexis and Keith, now, with all of this drama and going back and forth, do you think that if, let's say, they both were loyal to each other, there was any chance that this relationship worked, or was something else going to come up and pop up and screw them over?
Well, that's a big part of a relationship. And the fact that they screwed up numerous times, and that's not just in the house. Outside of the house, loyalty was an issue. It was doomed forever. Mm-hmm. It's never going
to
happen.
To me, it wasn't, and of course, loyalty is, I think, the most important part of a relationship. But let's say loyalty aside, right? Let's say they both are loyal to one another. They don't cheat. They both just hook up with each other, have just as much sex outside the house as they did in the house. I still think their personalities didn't match up at the end of the day. We saw Keith say time and time again, he goes for the quote-unquote crazy girls, and that's his type, and they end up breaking his heart. So I think something else would have doomed them. I'm glad we got to witness the rise and fall on national TV, but I don't think they were ever destined to be together. I didn't, and a lot of people talked about this on Reddit as well. I do like Jada and Keith, and of course they're not going to end up together because they have no interest in each other romantically. But I like that he said that he likes Jada as his perfect match because, like, she doesn't bring him down and she keeps him moving forward. And I think that's what Keith needs in a girl. Now, Carolina, on the other hand, let's dive right into her because we both have very strong negative opinions about her. There's been a lot of rumors about Carolina. It does feel like she's clinging to relevance. People make the joke all the time. If you want to date Carolina, just tell her you're on season 7 of Are You the One? Because she'll jump right into you. And I just don't understand why this girl and other cast members can't just move on with their lives and find people outside of the show. One relationship has worked from Are You the One? One. It's not, the numbers are not in your favor. Do you think there's any chance that Carolina is doing this because she likes Keith, or is it mostly for any attention she can
get?
Listen,
she might like him a lot. However, the relevance that comes with it, the little 15-minute booster that she gets from it is probably just as nice for her. Yeah. Now, I made a generalization earlier where I said a lot of these people come to the show for fame, and I'm going to reaffirm that generalization. This is proof that a lot of these Are You the One kids, or kids, I don't know if they're kids.
They're
adults.
They're kids in intelligence.
Okay. They're kids with their IQ scores. But
not all of them, some of them, sorry.
Shad's smart.
Yeah, he did TED Talk, so he's smart.
Regardless, she wants relevance, and she'll do anything. And Keith's a cool guy, he's a good-looking dude, so why not leech on to him for as long as possible? And when season 7, or if season 7 doesn't come, a year from now, she'll realize, I'm not really, you know, again, as many Instagram likes. Mm-hmm. My Facebook page isn't growing statistically like I want it to. And she'll find someone who is.
I think that I also have to try to give some of these people the benefit of the doubt. I'm telling them, like, oh, you shouldn't date people from Are You the One. I get there's that kind of personal connection where you're like, you did this, I did this, nobody else gets this. We were putting this crazy show on different seasons. So we're getting to know each other here. I get there's that common ground. But I'm just saying it wouldn't kill them to kind of venture outside of Are You the One, so they know, so everyone in all parties know that nobody's using each other for more relevance and fame.
And here's the thing, right? Like, we don't know these people at all. We're seeing an edited, watered-down version of them. Mm. So for us to judge these people, we're judging TV characters. Yep. We're not judging these people as real-life humans.
We say that quite often, that when we say these harsh things and we get negative and insult them and insult their character, we're judging the edited version of these people. So Carolina could be the nicest, sweetest girl, but we're just going off of the information we have, and that's just not the vibe we're picking up.
We're making assumptions, judgments, and judging stereotypes, mm-hmm. right?
And also another thing, Carolina, if you're for some reason listening, it might be a nice girl, but you're from Washington. I'm very curious why, like, she's in LA. Is she pursuing being an actress? Is she pursuing being a former reality TV star? I'm just curious. I want to know why she's out there.
Let's look at it like this. How many Are You the One or Challenge or Real World castmates are now famous actors?
Jordan Wisely from The Challenge.
I forgot he was on an Oprah Network show.
That
yeah.
counts for something.
That's not a break. Like, that's a break.
You got to give him some credit, right?
But did I in my head, I was saying A-list.
Okay. And I guess Are You the One cast members, we're kind of talking about Are You the One here. So, yeah, you're right. There hasn't been too many.
The answer is none.
Yeah, okay. So Alexis, like, really goes at Carolina here and says, no, how come no one else from all the other seasons, you fucked, didn't want you. And then some other irrelevant girl from season 5 who will get into the next part of the reunion. Shannon says, I'm going to hit her. Bro, I'm going to pull Malcolm. Bro, Alexis is nobody, I think, on that's ever been on Ari, though. Maybe Tori can take Alexis in a one-on-one. You could just see the fire in Alexis's eyes. Shannon looks like she's 4'11". I think Alexis would mop the floor with her. So I think Shannon made the right move by barking backstage and not getting Alexis's grill. And then Ethan actually even says, and I'm not sure if this was in an interview or on the reunion. You could tell me if you remember this. I watched an AfterBuzz interview with Ethan, Tori, and Keith after the season finished airing. And he said that not one girl on the cast would ever mess with Alexis. He said they knew they would get their shit wrecked. And I'm glad none of them went up to her because
we would get our shit wrecked by Alexis together.
Yeah.
She's scary. And here's the thing. Like, never mind. I was going to make an off-color joke and I decided against to keep going.
Good. I have a feeling I know where you were going.
Yeah, you do.
I'm glad you didn't go there. So Carolina actually then takes a time machine back to 2015 and calls Alexis Ratchet. And I think that ended the argument right there because everyone knew Carolina had lost in that moment. And then they ask Keith why he's with Carolina, and he goes on to say this really obscure reason that when they were both out ordering punch bowls, they both ordered one for each other, and like having someone who does little things like that and knows you enough to order something for you means that you're going to be with them for the rest of your life. So Keith, you know, if that's your reason, you own that reason, my friend, and we will see you in about 3.5 months when this all doesn't work out. Ethan then says the best thing he's ever said. He makes things so uncontrollably awkward for both Keith, Carolina, and probably Alexis, and says that, you know what, even though they had a lot of bad times, he still loves Keith and Alexis together because it gives him nostalgia. What a great way to end the first part of the reunion. It gives him nostalgia.
It makes sense. Like, he misses a time from nostalgia from 3-4 months ago. Like, actually, I lied. It makes no sense.
Because here's why I think it makes sense. There's those moments in life where you had such a great time and there are probably little crappy moments involved that even the crappy moments feel like good moments. I feel like I'm talking like Ethan right now. Like, the way I'm phrasing this, I feel like I'm speaking in, like, you know how he speaks in like kind of like it feels like a rhythm. That's how I feel like I'm speaking. Okay, we got to stop talking about Ethan because I'm turning into
we
him.
We like him, apparently. Like,
I like Ethan.
We like him. But we don't like the. He's trying to always be like on brand, Ethan.
I know. Okay. Yeah.
We talked about this. Yeah. Next.
I like Ethan. I'm gonna say that for the 600th time this podcast. Then I think Terrence actually like ended the show with saying next time they'll have some of the Are You the One All Stars on there, and like he's speaking about the people from previous seasons. Who's in Are? First of all, Are You the One All Stars? A word that should never be spoken, but. Are You the One All-Star? If you're going to have them, I really don't think that the people they had assembled on that couch were Are You the One All-Stars.
I think more like Are You the One people living in LA pursuing a non-existent entertainment career would be way more accurate.
Yeah. No, I agree. I think that's a great way to end the first part of the finale. So, first part of the finale done. It only took us 44 minutes to get through it.
Let's get the next one done in 42 minutes. That's the goal.
Okay, I actually wrote... Oh, no, this is... I was going through my notes, guys, to see... To continue on to the next one, and I pulled up the exact same notes from the first one. So now we're going on to the second part of the finale, second part of the reunion. And sorry, guys, it's 4 a.m. I'm not going to reveal what date it is because you could be watching this or watching this, listening. So I'm just messing them all over.
You're right now. Your speaking is almost as good as Ethan's track record with the ladies. Boom again.
Oh my God.
Giving him a brand.
What I'm saying is it's 4:27. I made up that time in the morning. And you might be listening to this on Christmas. You might be listening to this on New Year's. I don't want to give a date when we're listening to this because they're going to be listening to it on a different day. Does that make sense?
No.
Okay. So we're moving on to the part 2 of the reunion. It's Herring Day. I've complimented you all season long. I said time and time again how I think you're bringing fire to the show. You're criticizing these people. You're calling them out for their BS. Amazing. This introduction you did in the second part of the reunion was probably the worst thing you did as a host. He introduced some of the people as couples, some people alone. It was the most awkward way to introduce a cast, done stranger than I've ever seen on any MTV show.
I think it was him forgetting their names a little bit.
Maybe.
And like jumping around to who he remembered. Yeah.
He was like, we have Keith and Alexis, Olivia, Jada, Dimitri and Nerese, and Kareem. Like, it was just so, and I hope other people, please comment down, comment on the website, guys, or leave a comment on iTunes, wherever you're going to leave a comment, and please, someone let me know if they also picked up on this, because I thought it was so strange and just extremely awkward. Okay, I actually really enjoyed part 2 of the reunion. I think it was better than the first part. I loved everything about it, because I feel like every segment made sense. And it wasn't just a filler, like, in no offense to Kiana, but I think, like, the Kiana pregnancy one was kind of just thrown in there. So, we start out with Kaluche, Clinton and Uche.
Oh, no, ew.
What?
That's a thing?
No, I made it up.
Oh, thank God. That's awful.
It's like, I feel like I've talked about this with Allie, every Are You the One ship name can also be a potential name for a future STD.
Or an alcoholic beverage.
Oh, I'll take a Kaluche. They took to Clinton, Uche, and Jada, the love triangle that we really don't want. So Jada starts out by saying Clinton disrespected her in their Are You the One OG group chat after she talked crap about them in an AfterBuzz interview. However, the crap she talked in the AfterBuzz interview was meant about them from when they were on Are You the One and not them in present tense. So let me rephrase. She said in her AfterBuzz interview, she was talking crap about them while they were on the show and not in present time.
Which makes no sense.
Okay. I was just about to get to that. Do you think that what she's saying is valid at all?
No. I think it's an excuse, and I think it's a little bit of a reach. Mm-hmm. Like, come on. Like, you're talking about someone, how you felt about them while you were living the moment 3 months ago? Mm-hmm. That makes no sense.
Jada, you reaching so hard, you breaking your back, girl. I like Jada a lot this season. I think she's been a good friend to a lot of the cast members, and we see her be a good friend to Alexis at the end of the reunion. But her saying that when she's talking about someone, it's about what they did in the house, and she still doesn't feel about that way. I think if you're going to go that route, don't even do the interview in the first place. Just keep your mouth closed if you don't want to start drama.
Yeah, and I'm not going to lie. Like, this part of the show, this what she said there was a little cloudy, but I do remember the fight that ensued afterwards, mm-hmm. and it was amazing.
What fight are you referring to?
Jada and Uche, anything in a fight?
Oh, in the house.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Wait, no, I'll listen to it.
I think you're thinking of DeAndra and Nerese. What?
I think of the Anthony thing that happened like 20 minutes later.
Oh my God, Nick. Go to bed. Go to bed. Okay, so Nick, just disregard everything he just said.
Can we delete that?
No, we're not deleting it. I'm leaving it in there. I want to leave it in there because I think it's funny. So are you... and then we get a little... I can't even write this in my notes, but I remember that Clinton and Uche, we get to reveal what's going on in their relationship. They are actually together. They're not officially together yet. Wait, guys, wait a few minutes. Uche actually moved to Orlando. She works at Harry Potter World.
What?
I made that up. No, but she does live in Orlando.
Wait, but thank God it's not L.A. Oh, we moved to L.A. together. Yeah. Says every Are You the One cast.
And I'm not going to lie. Clinton has the looks to move to L.A. He's a very handsome man.
Yeah, he's a pretty. He's the prettiest on the cast.
Yeah, he was. I think I actually did use that joke sometime throughout the season. But she moves to Orlando. He moves in back home about an hour away from her. They spend the weekends together. He stays at her house. It seems like a genuine relationship. And from the words of our mother, she said, you know what? I like these two. So I do too. I know Uche's caught a lot of flack on Reddit. I've seen that a ton. They're not too fond of Uche. And throughout the show, I did criticize Clinton for some things, but you could tell they're genuine about this relationship. He asked her out on national TV, you know what? Maybe could have done it a little more subtle, low key way. She says yes. They're in the high school Facebook official boyfriend girlfriend phase as we speak.
And I think she might be a little, like, at times immature, but like Clinton flashed that smile at the screen, you forget it all.
Yeah. And I know I actually didn't like how he was with Gilles, remember, at the Mardi Gras party. And he did touch on that. He owned up to it, said he was wrong. Now, I'm going to defend him real quick. Me and Allie stood by the rule the whole season. If you're on Arthur, You're the One, and you're talking to someone, you're trying to be a perfect match with someone, whatever it may be, and you hook up with someone else, it is not cheating. It's the Are You the One house. Those same standards in real life relationship don't apply to the Are You the One house. So for him getting a little flirty with someone when he was in this house for X amount of days, and maybe getting a little too close to someone without kissing them or taking the opportunity to kiss her when they were in the confessional. You know what? I appreciate his apology, and I'm sure Uche does as well, but I don't think he had to. They weren't official. They weren't dating. They weren't a perfect match, and he still stayed loyal to her. So I think, to me, him apologizing really did prove that Clinton's a stand-up guy, and he was on this show maybe for some Instagram followers. For the most part, I think he really did want to find love, and I really hope and wish nothing but the best for Uche and Clinton.
Yeah, they're cool, and let's hope that they make it last. I mean, like you said, track record's not too good. Fingers crossed.
Now, we're getting into another one of my favorite segments we see on The Reunion. We bring out the low-key scumbag Anthony, and we're going to hear a lot about Anthony throughout The Reunion Part 2. We get into the Zoe-Anthony-Gilles situation, where obviously Anthony felt a connection with her in the house. He kissed her for, according to Gilles, more than 5 seconds. I think the interest for her was there from when they kissed on the show.
Yes.
Obviously, it was there for her after. To catch you guys up, Anthony takes a trip down to Jersey to visit a lot of the Jersey cast members. Kareem, Keith, Jada also live in Jersey?
Yeah.
Jada lives in Jersey. We also live in Jersey, so represent Are You the One Season 6 cast members. Anthony visits them. They all get drunk. He ends up sleeping with Zoe, who is Gilles' best friend from in the house. Gilles hears it around the grapevine. She texts Zoe and says, like, hey, did you sleep with Anthony? And she says, no. She denies it over and over. And then when Terrence goes to ask her why she denies it, she said because she wanted to tell Gilles in person. Are you buying this excuse?
No, it's BS. I mean, what? Like, I want to tell you in person. That just gives it time for her to find out without you ever telling her. Like, her to find out from another source. It makes no sense.
She pulled a Tony Raines. Where your significant, not significant other, well, someone hears you did something and you lie blatantly to their face just to tell them the truth a month or so later. So it just, none of what she did made sense. I think Joey was just trying to dodge it and kind of maybe like have a, you know, where I feel like where you have to face a difficult situation. Like, you know, I have to go to the doctor in a week, but this next week I'm going to enjoy every night and not even think about the doctor. When the doctor comes, you got to face it eventually. So I feel like Joey was just trying to avoid what actually happened in the inevitable. And she eventually got called out for it. Zoe didn't, right? Gilles and Anthony weren't together. So technically they did nothing wrong, but as someone's friend, hooking up with someone that your friend really, really did like at one point may not be the best option. And if she did have interest in Anthony, which obviously she did, she should have been straight up about it and told Gilles.
Yeah, it's a little suspect. And I mean, Anthony and Zoe, they were a little low key, but they are kind of like there's some behavior that they've showed that's a little suspect.
Yeah, I liked Zoe in the house because she seemed like a nice girl. I don't think she slept with anyone in the house, which doesn't indicate if you're a good or bad person, but it gave me the vibe that she was like waiting for someone she really cared about. But then after we do see that she did hook up with a lot of people. So, but in all fairness, to defend Zoe a little bit, she did hook up with a lot of people, but she wasn't dating anyone. You know, I think once again, this is also just as much on Anthony. Anthony knew what he was getting himself into. Zoe knew what she was getting herself into, and they both made the decision to sleep with one another.
I think, I can't say they both made a mistake because Anthony wasn't with Gilles.
Mm-hmm.
However, knowing that the repercussions that could come out of it, they probably could have handled it slightly differently.
Just been straight up to Gilles in the first place and be like, "Look, we have interest. We're gonna do what we're gonna do," and they would have saved everyone from hearing about this unnecessary drama.
It would have saved you time listening to this podcast because it would have been shorter.
Yeah. So let's move on to Anthony's new girlfriend, or Bae, as he put it on Twitter, which made me want to gouge my eyes out. I actually did. I don't have eyes anymore. They bring out season 5 irrelevant loser. Sorry, that's so mean.
Like, can I ask, like, why to you is she an irrelevant loser? An irrelevant loser when, like, Carolina wasn't as harshly described
for you. She was. We crapped on her.
We did, but you didn't call her an irrelevant loser. We said she was claiming too relevant.
I'm mean. Okay. Now they bring out girl from season 5, Anthony's new girlfriend, Shannon. So they bring out Shannon. She, like, does a little sass walk onto the stage. She daps up Terrence J with a completely awkward introduction. And she's now dating Anthony. They get into that Dimitri introduced them, which I guess was them kind of saying, hey, Dimitri, we're including you somewhere. No one really cares that Dimitri introduced them. And they talk about their relationship a little bit. We talked about Keith and Carolina. Let's just touch on this real quick. Do you think that this is a genuine relationship, or is it that Shannon trying to cling to Anthony's little bit of relevance, Anthony trying to cling to any relevance after his season was over? What is it?
My scale is, if they make it past the 1 year mark, the relevance factor could be thrown out the window. However, until that, I will be judgmental.
Okay, so as much as I'd love to sit here and talk about Anthony and Shannon's relationship and how they're doing, we have something a little more interesting to touch on. Apparently, the night before the reunion, Anthony texted Alexis about staying the night in her room, and he did. And the best part about this is how they revealed it. Terrence goes, so Anthony, like, have you talked to anyone from the show in the past? And he was like, no, not really, or whatever, however he worded it. And he said, what about Alexis? And she goes, and then Alexis reveals that Anthony stayed in her room. And Shannon goes, oh, yeah, I knew. He told me. Now, come on, Shannon. Come on. There's a million red flags, okay? Why did he have to sleep in Alexis's room when they were all definitely put up by MTV? Do you think that anything happened? Before we get into what was revealed on the side conversations with the microphones picking up Alexis and Ethan and what they said, do you think that anything happened, or do you think his intentions were just to sleep?
I mean, we obviously didn't see this whole exchange. This was cut up. But if I had to take a guess by how guilty Anthony seemed, I would say yes.
Yeah. And then the best thing, this is why I think Alexis is by far my favorite cast member of the season. So they ask Alexis, and she was like, oh no, he was really drunk. Nothing happened. Like, I promised nothing happened. And then the minute that Shannon turns away, she puts on this face where she's like, she reminds me of the I Love Lucy, like, I don't know what's going on face. Like, ooh, that's not true face. And it was phenomenal. This makes me a million more reasons why we need Alexis on every other MTV show she'll be on. And then they actually end this little segment on the show, and they cut to Alexis saying, they cut to two little scenes. One is Alexis whispering, I think, to Michael next to her. Michael says, why didn't you call Anthony out? And she goes, well, we didn't have sex or whatever, but he was definitely trying to fuck me. And then Ethan says, yeah, I was with Alexis at the, because Ethan was also involved in this. I'm sorry I didn't mention that earlier. But he was also in the room and Alexis got the original text from Anthony. So he goes on to say, yeah, Alexis showed me the text and said, Anthony texted me and said, you're my perfect match. I'm staying with you tonight. So there's a million red flags there. Anthony was trying to sleep with her. It didn't work out for him. And maybe he didn't cheat, but he was definitely trying to. And I think Shannon has to realize that right now, that look, that's the type of behavior you're gonna have to deal with if you're dating this dude.
It also speaks to who Shannon is as a person. If indeed, let's say this is all true, right? For all intents and purposes, this is true. And he did cheat. The fact that they're still together now, however many months later, I think a month later, they filmed that maybe a month ago. It just speaks to, it gives more evidence as to why she might be doing this relationship for relevance and nothing more.
Now, I think you're calling out, you're saying, well, Shannon might be doing this for the wrong reasons because she's dating someone who could have cheated on her. But it's also that it also shines light on the type of person that Anthony is. I don't think Shannon, maybe she wants to believe him.
Right.
You know, like, I don't think I'm the first to knock her, but I don't think you should knock her for this.
I'm probably reaching.
Maybe she might be a little, like, stupid and naive for believing this, but I understand why she would hopefully try to see the best in it and move forward.
Right, because people don't want, like we saw on the show so many times, people don't want to see the one that they're super interested in do something awful, and if they do something awful, they don't want to believe it.
Yeah, that's a storyline we've seen over and over again, and I think it happens a lot in everyday life as well. It's not just Are You the One. Are You the One, a microcosm for what we see in everyday life.
Maybe this is like Are You the One, just a Harvard case study.
would be all for the greater good. So okay, then we have Taylor from season 5 and Joe's discussion. They start off with Taylor from season 5. For those of you who don't remember, she was dating one of the guys in the show named Andre. They were a no match couple that stayed together for a good portion of the show, and they tried to make it work after. And apparently, he cheated on her over and over and over with any girl he wanted to cheat on her with, and he broke her heart. And for that happening to this girl who, like, is another season 5 cast member that's on the season 6 couch, I feel bad for her. Nobody deserves to be cheated on. Nobody deserves to be treated like dirt. And Andre's obviously a big douche for doing that.
Absolutely.
They then zoom in a little bit on the Gillesse and Taylor fight from In the House. And it just seemed really out of the blue, that whole fight. A lot of people were saying that this potentially could have been staged by both of them to secure their spot for another season of the Challenge Rivals. What do you think? You think this fight was real?
No, I think it was real. It came across to me as somewhat genuine. And like I said before, these people aren't actors.
Yeah.
I don't think they could have contrived that.
Mm, I agree.
And while it was random, we got a little context. I think they said that Joe and Gillesse,
yeah.
Gillesse really didn't like Joe. And Taylor was sticking up for Joe when Gillesse made a comment about him, leading to that fight, leading to Gillesse and Joe to talk about it afterwards, leading to them hooking up or something.
Yeah. I do think it was a genuine fight. I think Taylor was actually defending Joe. Now, I want to touch a little bit. I skipped around on purpose. I want to go with Gillesse first and then bring it back to Taylor and Joe. I do think that Taylor and Joe had a genuine relationship. I know a lot of people talk about, or we've talked about this whole time, people dating people for relevance. Joe could have originally dated Taylor after she was on the show for her relevance. She could have dated him after this one for his relevance. Now, to me, they both seem like they really cared about each other. They both said they tried to make it work. It just they weren't at the right stage in their lives to make this work. I did get genuine vibes from them, which I do appreciate. And it is nice to see that these people cared about each other and it wasn't just for the cameras or for the Instagram likes.
And the fact that they're not forcing it either is pretty admirable because it could be very easy for them to go on there and say, we're trying to make it work.
Yeah.
When they said we tried it.
Yeah.
It's not healthy for us right now. Kudos to them for being mature enough to realize that.
They did meet before, so it is a little different circumstance. But obviously, right now, Joe and Taylor, they're not together, and they're not trying to be together at the moment. So good luck to both of them. I know Taylor, a lot of people aren't a fan of Taylor, and she's apparently done a lot of awful things, but I can only go based on what I see on the reunion and what I see on the show. So we're not going to go beyond that. Now let's bring Zoe back into the picture. And Kareem and Kiana and get into this whole situation. So they go to Kiana and she talks about the trip to New Jersey, the infamous RE1 season 6 New Jersey trip. We're back here. Kiana and Anthony actually had sex on this trip. And they also did in the house. Now, does this surprise you that this hookup, which was extremely random, happened not only after the show, but also while they were in the house?
I think it does because we saw Kiana so obsessed with Michael that it almost seemed impossible for her to like another dude.
Mm-hmm.
So the fact that she was obviously interested in Anthony for quite some time there was a little surprising.
I'm going to pull a Michael, and Kiana, I'm going to apologize because the whole season we were kind of laughing at the fact that she was so obsessed with Michael and wouldn't let him go. And she might have not let him go because Anthony did say that the reason they didn't go anywhere is because she was still kind of into Michael. But she was trying her best. Sleeping with someone else after she's been hurt like she's been hurt, I think it means something.
Yeah.
So, you know, good for her trying. Sucks that she couldn't move past Michael, but it's good that she tried. I think that do we see Gillesse during this part at all? Did they get to Gillesse or was it just Kiana and Anthony?
They probably cut to her. She most likely said something rude and then we moved on.
Yeah, let's just assume that's what happened. Okay. So then let's bring Zoe back into things. Zoe not only hooked up with Anthony, she on this New Jersey trip, she hooked up with Kareem too. So now this causes a whole bunch of controversy. So to put things into context, on the New Jersey trip, the night before Zoe slept with Anthony, she slept with Kareem. And Kareem was actually dating Olivia while this was happening. And they don't necessarily flat on say, oh, they were boyfriend and girlfriend. But they keep saying, well, Olivia had a boyfriend, Kareem had a girlfriend at the time.
Right.
So they make that pretty clear. And then it turns out they go to Olivia, and it's weird because she doesn't just flip out and say, yeah, Kareem's a scumbag. She goes, Well, the weird thing is I was actually texting Keith and kind of playing the, like, what if game. Like, what if we were together? What if we were doing this? And now, to me, and maybe this is really wrong, and I'm sorry if this is offensive, but I think it's Olivia trying to justify
Kareem's
cheating on her and sleeping with someone else by saying she was texting another guy behind his back. Texting another guy, even if it is sexual, is nothing compared to having sex with someone. Your one's in the major leagues, one's in the minor leagues.
I think as much as Olivia wants to say, oh, we both did something bad, let's cancel it out, that's not how this works. Somebody did something exponentially worse than the other, and Olivia is still trying to say, nah, we both did something crappy, and that's not true.
And Kareem does own up to it. He says he was wrong, which he was. He says it meant nothing, it was an extremely big mistake. And to me, saying it meant nothing really doesn't matter. If you get cheated on, to be honest, at that point, I don't care what it means. Like, you cheated on me, you're no longer part of my life. Obviously, this is not the route they go. But if they're cheating on each other and texting other people within the first few months of the relationship, is there a chance this works?
They seem like they're into each other right now. They seem like they're going to try to stay loyal. And here's the thing about the Are You the One universe. Cheating is not as big of an offense as it is in the real world, right? Like, cheating gets forgiven quite often there.
Yeah.
So what might be cheating to you and I might not be as big of a deal to Kareem and Olivia, and maybe they can move past it. And I don't know. For their sake as two human beings, let's hope they do.
And maybe we're looking at it from an outside real-life perspective when they're still kind of looking at it like, you know what? We're a bunch of young people from the Are You the One house who may hook up with each other. So maybe when one of them does something negative, they don't look at it like, wow, that's end-all, be-all, our relationship is done. They might look at it like, you know what? Like, we're still trying to figure this whole outside dating thing out.
Instead of calling it Are You the One, they should call it Are They the One, because most people hook up with two people anyway.
Oh, I get it. Like, is that group the one?
Are those two people the one?
So it's like a polyamorous, like let's have a bunch of big relationships.
What if they all dated? Like, all 22 of them.
They would all end up with Clinton.
You're right. Probably some of the dudes, too.
Ethan would definitely be, you know what? Like, Clinton's a great-looking dude. I'm down. So I actually have faith in this couple. You know, I think they both made their fair share of mistakes. Kareem probably a few more than Olivia. But they both made their fair share of mistakes. Kareem's the only person I follow on Instagram from this cast, and because he's Kareem, why wouldn't you?
Why, though?
Because he's from our hometown. That's the only reason why. And we've talked about me seeing him, potentially seeing him at the gym numerous times. So let's still fingers crossed on that one. I think that they really do care about each other, and they've went through the ringer and back. And I do see a potential future with them. Will they get married? Probably not. But will they be together for a few years? Maybe. That'd be nice. Do you think that, getting back to Zoe, was she wrong for hooking up with somebody with a girlfriend?
Yes, she was wrong again. But Kareem was probably wronger.
Yeah, of course he was. Kareem
was wronger because he was the one who was in the actual relationship.
Yeah.
However, they were both wrong.
I think that people, and this is how I view the world. If you don't view it, that's totally fine. You could view it any way you want. The person who's doing the cheating is by far the worst person involved in this whole situation. Kareem made the biggest mistake. But if you're aware someone has a boyfriend, right? And you're friends with that person or know that person, whether you know them or not, you still shouldn't do it. But if you know them, like, you're really crossing a boundary. And I think that if someone's in a relationship, you know what? Find someone else. If they're cheating on them with you, they'll most likely cheat on you with someone else too.
Yeah.
And that's just my little Adam Bongiovanni piece of advice. So Zoe, I don't think you handled this great. Kareem, you handled this terribly. Olivia, stop texting Keith. And I think maybe you could all have happiness at the end of the day. So we're moving on to the season 3 Are You the One cast members really, really scoring two here. And this is maybe a double standard. And I'm Audrey is talking to Hunter. And who was talking to Nelly T? Nerys was talking to Nelly T. And at first when I saw this, I'm like, oh my God, that's so funny. But why am I giving Nelly T and Hunter a pass when I'm not giving a pass to Shannon and Cassandra?
Carolina.
Carolina.
Because they weren't sitting there.
That's true.
They didn't, but maybe, no, they, no, weren't,
they
filming
weren't filming.
The
okay. They weren't
filming. No, they weren't, they didn't go and film the show. Yeah. It, listen, I'll be the first to say, wait a minute, maybe we're giving these two girls too hard of a time. Are we? Probably yes. However, Nelson and Hunter weren't there.
They can't, I guess they weren't there to exploit it. Could they still be being douchebags who are trying to get any fame they possibly want? Sure. But we all, and also it is a little bit of, I feel like I know them better because they were on the challenge.
Yeah.
And I do like Hunter on the challenge to a certain extent. And Nelson's also interesting to watch. But I just thought it was so funny how these random two friends from season 3 in an alliance on the challenge all the time are trying to date girls in the same season. It seems kind of like really like random to me. And you know, if they're using it for fame, you guys are already on the challenge. Like, you don't have to try to get on any new shows by dating girls from different seasons. You could kind of go back into your workout arena and prepare to team up with Corey and see what happens.
And I also feel like, I know we're talking about like, oh, they're doing it for fame a lot, but it just seems very easy to read. Mm-hmm. Like, it feels like, oh, of course they're doing it for that reason. It just seems obvious. Maybe it's a little more complex than we're giving credit.
I'm sure
for
it is.
But from our perspective, it just looks a little more like that.
Like, the people that I think or would also be doing it for fame with someone like Michael from season 5, if he talks to Alexis, it seems like him, Tyler, like that little crew are also along the lines of let's do anything we can to get on a challenge. So if Tyler from season 5, who I thought was the biggest douche last season, I'm sure he has tried to date anyone from this season, he would be, oh my god, I would love having a field day and kind of like going at him just because I was not a fan of his in the show.
Sorry, bad yawn. All right, next.
Okay, so we got Dimitri sending a letter to Nicole. Now, Dimitri, like, I actually don't think he did anything wrong here, and I'll be the first. Dimitri, oh, such a douche. Really unentertaining the whole season. Really didn't offer anything. Was just so immature beyond belief. But this little love letter to Nicole, like, I don't think he disrespected her. I don't think he was even trying to sleep with her based on the letter they showed, which she claimed that he wanted to sleep in her room. I think he just missed her and cared about her and wanted to let her know that.
Yeah, I don't think it was, like, listen, there was some sentiment there. There was a little charm to it. However, I mean, pen and paper, it's growing more obsolete by the day. You get to just texting her. Mm-hmm. That wouldn't have been my first choice, but I don't see too much wrong in that. I think she said, oh, you said something, and then did he actually say what she was claiming he said? I don't remember.
Yeah, no, I think we could really end this part quickly.
Let's just say who cares.
I think that Nicole might have exaggerated a little bit, but I could see after probably what she went through with Dimitri, why she would probably want to make him look a little bad. It seemed like they were talking for a little bit, then all of a sudden they just stopped. So they bring out Shanley from season 1, and I think it's really funny that Terrence actually asked how Christy is doing, which was her season 1. They were actually, Shanley and Christy were, for those of you who didn't watch season 1 or recent Are You the One fans, they were the first no-match couple to really try to stick it out and make it work. And he asks her how, or he asks Shanley how Christy is doing, and she replies that Christy is having a baby, and she stalks him and his, I guess, fiance, girlfriend, whoever it is, on Instagram. So, you know, good, they're on good terms. But we all love a good love story. So they bring out Shanley, who I guess the only reason she's there is because she had Twitter beef with Alexis, where she made a really off-color joke about Alexis's cousin murdering her best friend. And that really offended Alexis, because Alexis said, she goes on to say during the reunion that when this was all going down and she was in high school, she was depressed for 3 years. She didn't leave her room, and she was beyond offended by the tweet and things that Shanley should have never done. That was extremely stupid.
That was sad. I mean, listen, you often see Alexis as like this, like loud, obnoxious, funny. And it was like sad to kind of see, wow, like she had to go through a lot of really difficult crap while she was young in your formative years. That's probably incredibly difficult.
Yeah, and it probably also, it was a big reason why she might make some mistakes today, because she had people who usually don't make the best decisions might have had a rough upbringing or rough go around in their teenage years. And Alexis had something that not many people have to go through. So I did feel for her in this segment. And I think this showed that she is a pretty strong girl to overcome what she overcame. So Shanley then goes on to express extreme gratitude to Anthony and Kareem for handling her tweet fantastically, where she says that, you know what, they by tweeting her and telling her to delete the tweet, Anthony Cream were perfect Samaritans in this moment. And then she goes on to apologize, right? And she says, you know what, Alexis, I'm sorry. But then she kind of takes it back and says, I'm sorry for, like, offending you, that it was just the wording of it, or she didn't mean to offend you, but she still thought it was funny. And it was one of the shittiest apologies I've seen on a reunion show, and we've seen a ton of them.
Okay, well, you could say that all you want, which it was a pretty crappy apology. However, to see any type of apology in an Are You The One reunion show deserves a Medal of Honor, because we never see people apologizing for doing crappy things, right?
No, because we actually saw, like, three people apologize. I think you're saying we never saw someone apologize, but didn't we just talk about Malcolm apologizing, Michael apologizing? Didn't we just talk about all that? Kareem apologizing?
We never see a previous cast member from an earlier season apologize on the season 6 Are You The One reunion show part 2.
I guess you got me there. I feel like this part wasn't really needed. You know what? I'm glad we got to talk about the Alexis cousin situation, because it has been brought up quite a bit. And I'm glad that, I guess, she shamefully apologized and Alexis was very forgiving of her, which is pretty cool. She didn't hold a grudge, which many cast members on these reality shows do. So we move on to Gianna and Hayden, where we bring out a season 5's favorite couple, and they're still living together. They make up a big lie about how they're engaged, or they got married, and they're now there's a bun in the oven, and they both say that they were lying. And I don't know. I feel like there was really no need for them to even be on the show.
Yeah, it seemed like a filler.
Yeah,
which, like, I would have loved to hear more gossip about Anthony texting other girls throughout the cast and sneaking into their hotel. Like, that would have been more fun than seeing photo shoot pictures from Gianna. I almost forgot their names, Gianna and Hayden. Like, yeah, that was unnecessary.
Yeah. So they talk about how they've been doing, and they're both living in LA, obviously trying to make it as rappers. And you know what? Best of luck to them. I don't think we really need to see much of them after this. They weren't the most entertaining on the show. The best thing Hayden did was steal the money from Carolina, which was on Are You The One Second Chances.
Which nobody probably even watched. Which,
yeah, probably none of you even have any idea what I'm talking about. But they said some other things about dogs or something. I don't really remember at all. I probably zoned out during this little segment of the show. But I did say earlier in this podcast that the Are You The One reunion part 2, everything that was featured was meant to be featured and very entertaining. I stand corrected. This part did not have to be there. And the next part we have is what ended the show was E-Money's rap, where Tyler sings and plays the famous ukulele. And I'm not trying to be a jerk, but I don't think Tyler is the best singer. He has a very soft voice. And I'm not too much of a fan of Tyler singing. He plays the ukulele great, though. And Ethan goes on to rap, and I think this was his best rap to date that was shown on the show. I think my favorite line by far was that he would feature Dimitri in the rap, but they would probably cut him out, and that was how he ended it. So I was a big fan of this rap.
Yeah, good times. That's all I got.
Did you like the rap?
I did. It showed Ethan's talent, that he's actually talented. I mean, I know we saw a little bit of it, like, what, 2 months ago? And listen, you can shit on Tyler's voice all you want. I thought it would be way worse.
Okay. Yeah, I guess putting a few MTV cast members on any show and asking them to perform some sort of task that requires talent and then succeeding takes a big pat on the back. So yeah, that wraps up our reunion show. If there was anything else in there, it wasn't entertaining enough for me to remember. I just want to give a big shout out to anyone who's listened to us up to this point and finished out the season with us. Myself, Allie, our fill-in host, Brian and Nick, but especially me and Allie, we really appreciate every nice comment we get, every listener we get. We do go through the comments on iTunes and as well as the comments on robisawebsite.com. So thank you so much to everyone who listened. And if there's a season 7, we will be back. And I hope to God, I hope to anyone that there's a season 7, because I love talking about all these idiots who they throw in a house
we
together.
Hope to Kareem.
Yeah, we hope to Kareem. And yeah, well, you guys will be the first to know. You could follow me on Twitter at Adam Bongo, Adam, B-O-N-G-O. And Nick, where can they find you on Twitter?
Nick_the_hat. You don't have to follow me. I don't think I proved myself.
Agreed. No, I'm just kidding. Thank you, Nick, for coming on the show with me. I truly appreciate it. Thanks to everyone who listened in. We will see you next time.